Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me for Favor Life, the process of there, where we walk by faith and not by sight, and to the promise, the process, to the place that God has called and commissioned us to. This place is not a position or a title. It is a posture of obedience, faith, and trust in God and His Word and what He's going to do in our lives, what He's promised to do, and where He's going to take us. And it is amazing because God always uses and chooses unlikely people to get glory out of their life, to do His will in the earth, and to show dispensation of His grace to other people. It is amazing to me that as we study the Bible and we see the people that God has chosen, whether it's one person, a tribe, or a nation, or a family, God always allows them to choose His will. And even in their choosing His will, they don't always make the right choices, but it does not refute or stop the Word or the will of God. The Word and the will of God is powerful enough to come to pass regardless of our frailty, our mistakes, our sins. God's Word will manifest because He watches over His Word to perform it, to complete it, and to make sure that it is seen and evident in the earth. And I thank God because He has chosen us for such a time as this to get glory out of our lives. We have been studying people in the Bible, as I said, not seeing them as superhuman Christians, but seeing them in their human state, their human form, seeing their lives, seeing how they went through the process, their trust and obedience in God, and even how they sometimes made mistakes, did not follow the plan, and as I said and stated before, it did not refute God's purpose. It still manifested. God's grace is sufficient. And He was able to cover the multitudes of their sin because the Word of God lets us know that before the foundations of the earth, in the mind of God, Christ was already crucified. He was already slain. So when God saw them, even though they were giving animal sacrifices to appease God, God already saw them as His because He already saw the slain lamb, His Son, and the price that was going to be paid. So He already saw them and saw them in His family and saw them with the promise of what He had said through the prophets. And so that was manifested because when Jesus went into hell, descended into hell, after He was crucified, the Bible says that He led captivity captive. He led a captive bunch of folks from their holding place. He led them out of their holding place, and He gave them good gifts. That's why He was able to tell the thief on the cross, "Today will you be with me in paradise," not in the bosom of Abraham, but in paradise, because Jesus was going to descend to get the victory, to lead them out, to do what no other person could have done, because He was the Son of the living God. He was the Son of God. His DNA was the DNA of the Father. So even though He had the flesh that came through His mother, His DNA was the DNA of the Father. Because if He had had the DNA of Joseph, then He would have been just like all the humans who came who could not win over the fallen flesh, the fallen state of man. But He had the DNA of His Father, and we all know that the DNA of the Father determines a great thing, and it really shows a great thing. So God's DNA was in Him, and He was able to win over, conquer over the things that man could not, and win back everything that the first Adam lost. So we thank God for giving us this victory. We thank God for giving us this opportunity that even when we were in our sin state, even when we were far from God, even when we didn't know Him, and many of us lived lives that cursed Him and said it out of our mouth, we basically have God who looked at us and saw that we were going to be in His family, and He did not allow us to stay in the state that we were in. He chose us, and because He chose us, He knew we were going to be His. He made a way for our escape. He made sure that we had the opportunity, as everyone will, to choose this day who they will serve, God or man. And so we're so grateful for those who said, "I'll choose the Lord." I'm so grateful that I have chosen to serve Him, to love Him, and that He has saved me, that He is my great Redeemer, my salvation. And I thank God for the life and the light that He has given me, the hope that I now have in Him. and for every promise that he's giving me. And I'm growing in the grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, becoming more as he is, decreasing within myself that he might arise even greater. So it's a wonderful thing. And the process doesn't always feel good. The process of where he's taking you, calling you, even allowing you to possess, get victory over, does not always feel good. But in the end, when you look at the end result, when you've come through that trial, that test, when you've come through that place that you've gone through, and you see the fruit and the victory, and you see the revelation and the understanding of what God has done and is revealing to you, it's worth it. It's worth it because you have more, you've gained more than what you could ever imagine, and you have another understanding, another depth of God, of who he is. You're seeing him, and you have an overcoming testimony that witnesses and testifies even greater about God, because he's shown up and he's been something or done something to or for you that no one else could have done. So it is amazing. It is wonderful. We're going to look at today briefly in this 15 minutes of empowerment, chapter verses 3 through 6. And the Word of God reads, and it says this, and I'm going to read it out of two interpretations. And it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The Living Bible says it this way. It is true that I am an ordinary, weak human being, but I do not use human plans and methods to win my battles. I use God's mighty weapon, not those made by man, to knock down the devil's strongholds. These weapons can break down every proud argument against God and every wall that can be built to keep men from finding him. Thank you, Jesus. With these weapons, I can capture rebels and bring them back to God and change them into men whose heart desire is to obey Christ. I will use the weapons against every rebel who remained after I first used them on you yourself and you surrendered to Christ. This is wonderful. This is amazing. We understand and know that our weapons are not carnal, that we're not using the weapons of the world. We're not using even the weapons of the flesh. We're not using those weapons in this spiritual battle. For the things that we see manifesting in the earth, that lets us know that there is a spiritual battle that is taking place, and that there needs to be something that manifests in the spirit realm to offset, to capture, to defeat, to bind up what is happening in the earth. That these things that are going on, the behaviors and conducts and actions and arguments against the will and the word of God, that these things have to be dealt with in the spirit realm, because it was spiritually first that man was drawn away from God when Adam sinned. So when Adam sinned, man went away from the presence of God. Man went away from God. Man's heart became hardened against God. Even though in the Genesis we see that there were those who were righteous and who did try to keep the commands of God, many went away from God and they did not want to retain or know God in their mind or their heart, that they did what they wanted. They pleased themselves and they lived for themselves. Even when we study Noah, that was what was taking place. They were given in marriage. They were enjoying life. They were celebrating. They were still buying and selling and doing everything that they were doing, going on about their life, and they had no reverence or fear or desire for God. But we understand that when we begin to war in the spirit and we begin to call on the name of Jesus and we begin to command salvation and evangelism to go out to the world, when we begin to live those lives and command our light to shine, when we begin to esteem the Lord and His word and His will, when we begin to release His power and we begin to pray for souls to be won, for eyes to be opened, for hearts that are stony to become hearts of flesh, when we begin to use not the things that we see on TV or read in the newspaper or see on the internet about all these things that are going on that we sometimes can't understand how people will act that way. But you have to understand the powers and the authorities of the air has blinded their eyes that they cannot see the truth or know the truth. They do not see the harm or the danger of what they're doing. They have been, many of them have been, their hearts have been seared that they don't feel or recognize that there is no distinction between sin and evil, and that many of them are being, because they do not know God, they're operating under the influence of the enemy. So it's up to us to begin to pray and tear down the strongholds, the concepts, the lies, the arguments, try to say that God is not real, God is not so, God cannot help, God is not love, God will not understand, God will not forgive you. The enemy lies to them and makes them feel that they are so bad off that you ought to stay in the state that they're in because no one else will receive or want them or desire them or love them. So we tear down those arguments with the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal. We tear it down with our warfare of prayer, of intercession, of fasting. We tear it down. When we tear it down, we open up the door. We bring those things captive. We command those things to be bound and captive and held so that they no longer have a hold on that individual. And those individuals now get the opportunity to choose, make a precise, dedicated decision about who they will serve, God or the enemy, God or man, God or themselves, which we ultimately know is the enemy. There's no in-between. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the enemy. So we understand that. And then when they choose to serve Jesus Christ, when they choose to confess Him as Lord, when they choose to do that, then they tear down every lie of the enemy. They defeat again another lie, another tactic, another stronghold of the enemy, and we win that territory for the glory of God. And we win it because we want the world to know that Jesus saves, Jesus delivers, He sets free, He's the Redeemer, He's the saving strength of His anointed, that He died for the world. He died that they might be redeemed, that they might be part of the family of God. So whenever we begin to pray, we should always pray for souls, for salvation. We should always pray that they will be those that will be hungry and thirst after righteousness, that will go out and witness, those that will go out and pursue, evangelize, those that will be a light, that we would be a light in our communities and on our jobs, in our churches, in the stores, wherever we're at, that the light of God, the love of God will shine. And you never know who's watching you, who is looking at your life, and who wants to know what it is that makes you joyful and have hope and live at life totally different, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not using carnal methods to get what we need or get what we want. We are using the weapon of prayer and faith and the word of God to tear down everything, because we are what God says we are. We are everything that the word of God says we are. It does not yet appear, but we are. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now. We have been made righteous because of the blood of Jesus, and He has covered the multitudes of our sin, forgiven us, and we have a place, an inheritance in heaven eternally with God. We are able to call Him Father. He is our Father. We have access to heaven, and we have it because we pray in the Spirit. We have everything that He says that we have according to the word of God by faith. So we war not according to the world, not according to carnal methods, but according to what the word of God says. Begin to tear down every stronghold when you pray. Begin to decree what God says and declare it and stand by it on faith and know that it will surely come to pass. I'm Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you for joining me today for Favor Life, the Prophets of There. I pray that you've been empowered and that you've been encouraged and that you do not allow carnal weapons to come out of your mouth, but the weapons of power which tear down strongholds. God bless you. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another 15 minutes of empowerment on Favor Life.